Mills. Step back. Got it. And look at Patty Mills. Australia on the front of his jersey and on the small of his back. He's carrying them right to Beijing.
NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It is Friday, September 13. That's right, Friday the 13th, bro. Hopefully it's scary for Spain. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me that sweet, sweet walking around green. That's the folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. All the way through this NBA offseason and FIBA World Cup. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of basketball action for you while repping Australia. Just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right. So just a really, really, really quick Friday check-in for you today. Talking all things World Cup, Team USA, Boomers, Spain, all that sort of good stuff. We're going to be in and out. A bit of yeah, nah, and then we'll be done. It's pretty nice. And then we might finish up with a bangers rerun. What do you reckon? Maybe an Andrew Bogut. Dealer's choice. We'll see what happens at the end. All right, man, let's just bloody well get to it. It's NBA Australia episode 328. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow. You better, or you better watch out for the attack of Patrick, Sammy, James, Thrills, fucking Mills. Especially for the Czech Republic. Or you better watch out for the fucking attack of the giant hubris if you're Team USA.
Oh, it's fine, bro. We'll just come in with, like, you know, our C squad and we'll still smoke everybody.
Bumpo! Yeah, no good. Anyway, really quick NBA Australia today, just because old man NBA Australia, that's right, my old boy. You might remember on Wednesday's show talking about how I was at Fleetwood Mac on Monday night and watching the game against France in the Uber on the way home. And my parents were in the Uber with us. Turns out my dad had a bit of a heart attack, a slight one, the day after. I'm going to put it down to the fact that he was five rows from Stevie Nicks. But still, so I've been ferrying my mum to and from the hospital and stuff. So I'm running out of time. Some pretty crazy stuff, but let's just knock over some fun shit before the weekend. You know, just out here. So if you can, prayers up for old man NBA Australia. Me dad. Shit, yeah. Nice one. All right, a bit of news with the daily whip around, that's right. Bang Bros, if you know your porn, about to bid $10 million for the naming rights of the Miami Heat Arena. As if you didn't think you'd get more STDs by going to a Miami Heat game. Nice one. Joe Johnson, ISO Joe, the man who frustrated me almost as much as Brooke fucking Lopez over many, many years of watching him play live in Brooklyn, has signed with the Detroit Pistons. That's right, Big Three MVP, Joe Johnson. And everyone's like, oh, Detroit, you know, a bit of a smoky. I'm like, yeah, if you're fucking high, they're a smoky. Jesus, settle down, mate. Settle down. Anyway, the big news. Well, actually, there was one other bit of news that just popped up. I was on my phone in the old hospital fucking, cafeteria waiting for a coffee. And I got the Shams, Shirania alert about Brooklyn Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie turning his NBA contract into a digital investment vehicle, which is pretty crazy, pretty fun story. I want to break that down a little bit more. Probably next week, just because it's really complicated and absolutely fucking fascinating. Really interested to see what this means. He's the first NBA star to do so. Pretty interesting stuff. And look, it's going to be in Friday Fuckwit, but Kobe out here talking shit, so it's pretty funny. some good stuff. All right, so the big news to come out of the FIBA World Cup is obviously the fact that, oh yeah, that's right, the Australian Boomers are in the fucking semi-finals! Woo! But also that Team USA got bundled out in embarrassing fashion by the Frogs, the Frenchmans over there from France. And then, not only that, they got their asses fucking handed to them in the 7-8 matchup. No, the 7-8 matchup by Serbia, which was... No, wait. That's not the 7-8. You fucking idiot. It's 5-6. I'm a moron. Yeah, Serbia, USA, because Poland, Czech, I think, is 7-8. I don't know. Anyway, Serbia beat the USA. Gee, can you tell that I've, like, you know, spent a shit ton of time driving to and from fucking hospitals the last 2 days? Bit scattered, mate. Bit scattered. And about to get on the tins. Watch this Boomers game. Anyway, Serbia win 94-89. They held Team USA, get this, to 7 fucking points in the first quarter. It was an absolute embarrassment. Embarrassment for the old Team USA. 32-7. Absolutely fucking crazy. Belly Belica was going fucking bananas. It was some good stuff. Micic was doing shit. It was great. It was a really fun game. And, I mean, not if you're a Team USA, obviously, but for the rest of the fucking world, it was hilarious. Bogdan Bogdanovic went bananas. He had 28 points. He was smoking him. And this is, like, pretty wild because Nikola Jokic, hello, didn't even have, like, you know, an absolute ass kickery of a game. What was it? Nine points for the big fella, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. He was pretty good, but Jesus, not like out there, you know, tanning everybody's hide. Pretty fun game. Boban came out and just started taking fucking bodies left, right, and center. It was great. And Belly Belica, Lucic, it was good stuff. For Team USA, bit of a, how you say, shit show. Absolute fucking shit show. They shot 43% from the floor, and it was just absolutely embarrassing. No one could really do much. Jaylen Brown went 1 of 6. Joe Harris went 1 of 6. Donovan fucking Mitchell went 4 of 12. Steve Francis 2.0. Just, you know, basically becoming Steve Francis. Just like, you know, Steve Francis leading Team USA to the embarrassing the 2002-2004 Olympics. And yeah, way to live up to your naming there. Donovan fucking Mitchell. I love it. What other news? That's kind of it. Look, Team USA, Miles Turner did come out and just have, I mean, from 1 to 12, top to bottom, this team, this roster has sacrificed so much for our nation, our summers, our bodies, our mental. We came up short. Can't nobody's more upset than us, but I refuse to tolerate any slander for our play. You cannot question our heart. Yeah, fuck off, Miles Turner, you fucking crybaby. How about you go out and then play a little bit better than fucking 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 fouls. You were shit. the problem was he was even worse against fucking France the other day, wasn't he? Only played 10 minutes because he had 3 fouls, 2 turnovers, 1 rebound and 2 points. Yeah, when any time you could have more fouls and turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined, it's going to be spud of the week. Anyway, look, the banner thing was that obviously that Australia beat the Czech Republic 82-70. So let's quickly go and wrap that one up, shall we? All right. Yes, Czech fucking mate. We're in the semis. My big write-up is on NBA Australia's face. You go check that out. But god damn it, this was amazing. 82-70. The game flew by. 11 p.m. Eastern tip-off. And the bugger was done by 12:30. It was amazing. I was a bunch of tins deep. And, you know, this had to get up the next day and look after the squid. And I could do it no problems. It was great. Anyway, look, Patrick Sammy James fucking thrills Mills. I wrote that not only should he now be Prime Minister of Australia, there should be a statue of Paddy Thrills at the front of every public building in Australia. I feel like it's only fair. I mean, it must be rough carrying other 11 other blokes on your shoulders, isn't it? He was literally the only reason we're in this fucking game in the first half. Like, he was absolutely amazing. And it's really fun to watch because he's just like, oh, I think I'm better than everybody on this fucking court right now. And he was. So that was really fucking cool. But look, Jingles wasn't really on top of his game, and we needed Paddy Thrills to step up. He did exactly that. He had 24 points. Big Bogey was out there laying wood. He was awesome. Dally had a rough shooting night, but was really, you know, doing literally everything else he fucking could for Australia. Nick Kay had a lay dunk. Love that. Bangers, his shot wasn't there. Didn't really need him to do too much. He was just out there throwing that giant wood of his around. Rock'em Sock'em Jock'em Landale was pretty nice. Had a couple of nice follow-up dunks. He was up and down like the old fucking, what I call it, Lethal Weapon up there on the movie world on the Gold Coast. And Mitchie Creek, the Creek Freak, just, oh. For a bloke who wasn't even in the fucking, like, team, he's actually out there on a closing lineup. Jeez, Lemanis, what the fuck are you playing at? Chris Goulding was also on fire. I called him White Curry. That was pretty good. Handy. When he's firing, he's way more fun to watch than a clip of Dermot Barron getting laid out by Mark Yates in that 89 granny I wrote. Some funny stuff. Good shit. It was really, really, really fun. And look, I've promised it before. I'm going to get a like Joe Ingles fucking tattoo if we medal. I'm a little bit worried, but I'm not that worried. I was going to get a Jingles tattoo probably at some point, wasn't I? Knowing how much I drink and how funny that'd be. So there we go. Jingles tattoo. It's probably on its way. We've got a medal first. I really hope we do. And I do also then, if we do medal, have to wear a Nick Kay Wildcats jersey to a Wildcats game this season. That'd be pretty fun. Yeah. But anyway, look, this was a bit of a roller coaster as well, this game, wasn't it? I mean, it could have been a little bit easier. We made it hard on ourselves. Was it 33-30 at the half? And you were kind of just like, right, so what are we going to do? Can we keep this all together? And we kind of did. So just put the wood on in the third quarter at a 30-18 quarter where we outscored the Czechs. And it was pretty handy. They were just, look, Satoransky was kind of fun to watch. He shot 5 of 12 for his 13 points, but he had 13 assists. He was really, really the only bloke out there that you were sort of worried about. But they were a good team. They came hammer and tongs and we took it. So good job, Boomers. Way to go. Let's give out some awards then, shall we? Let's do it. That's right. NBA Australia approved performer of that game.
That's not nice. That's a nice.
Patrick Sammy James Thrills Mills, you little beauty. Yeah, he was amazing, wasn't he, Patty Thrills? Look, I said after the France game, that not only should we just, he's so money that we shouldn't just change the $20 note to have like a picture of him on both fucking sides. We should change the concept of money to thrills, where you're like, oh yeah, I'll grab a pint of that Moondog lager, thanks. And they're like, yeah, nah, no worries, mate. That'll be 12 thrills. Hey, baller. They were like, yeah, nah, cheers, baller. It just makes sense. Let's make it fucking happen. Let's get a royal commission. And while we're putting out royal commissions, why don't we have a... look, Mitch Creek not being in this fucking team is still just absolutely embarrassing for Lemanis and co, isn't it? Like, holy shit. He's in there in your closing lineup, and he didn't have him in the fucking team. We need a royal commission to why Andre Lemanis is a bit of a dipshit. anyway, but Patty Mills, look, 9 of 15. He shot 6 of 9. Nice. From 3, he was absolutely on fire. 4 rebounds, 6 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, but it didn't really matter. He was absolutely amazing, doing everything, literally fucking everything, especially in that first half where he was our offense. No one else had hit more than 2 shots, and Patrick Sammy James fucking Thrills Mills was out there taking bodies, collecting bodies, just burning Satoransky. It was great. Absolutely snapped ankles later too. So good job, Patty Thrills. It was amazing. Who was old mate? No mates though.
Old mate, no mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Do you reckon? It might just be Greg Popovich. Holy shit. The fact that Pop can now get, like, criticized. He's like, oh, you took over Coach K's gig and then suddenly you're out and, like, you guys fucking suck in basketball now. Whew, tough sledding. Someone's like, oh, can we now say that Pop is overrated? He's like, well, no, because he's still got 5 fucking NBA titles, you dipshits. But still. Look, Miles Turner, he's going to be Spud of the Night.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Yeah, because look, when your big man options are basically playing like absolute shit and Pop is kind of like, I don't really trust Brook Lopez, and Miles Turner's out there throwing down 10, you know, 10 completely, completely useless minutes against Rudy Gobert, Zestava Tower against France in the quarterfinals, and you shit the bed and that's all over, Red Rover. And then you back it up with a pretty shitty game against Serbia. Fucking hell, man. Look, this is the thing. It's FIBA basketball. As Bangers Baines, Andy Bogut, even Nick Kay have sort of proven, you just need solid big dudes sometimes. And Miles Turner, for all the potential in the world that he has, yeah, the consistency still isn't there. Brook Lopez, only 8 minutes in the game against Serbia, missed both of his threes and was just like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And look, the less we talk about old fucking Spud Plumlee, the better, right? 9 minutes, 2 free throws. Yikes. Whatever. So, look, Spud of the night basically just goes to Team USA is what I'm trying to say. Donovan Mitchell, 4 of 12 in that Serbia game. That was pretty embarrassing. The game against the USA, Donovan Mitchell, look, he was the only one doing fucking jack shit. He had 29 points. He was amazing. But just the rest of his tournament, this was meant to be the sort of big coming out party, you know? And he shot 43% for the tournament. Checks out. The 2-6 against Brazil in the second round. Yeah. But look, at least he left it all out there against France, but still. A bit of a weird one. Some weird stuff. We'll do a quick yeah, nah, and ask about 2020, but there you go. Team USA, you guys are collectively, Spud of the night. Look, I don't know. Do you want to give out a pantsing of the night? I think it couldn't just go to Team USA as well. They got pants by France and then Serbia. It is their lowest finish in a World Cup. Like, this is absolutely fucking bananas. They got pantsed in front of the world. And now it's going to be like Argentina, Australia, France, or Spain who's going to be your world champions. And yeah, this is what, you know, hubris is all about, Team USA. Just fucking saying, you arrogant dicks. If you're out there, you know, laying that wood, slinging that thing, suddenly, sometimes, you got to pay the piper. What do you reckon? Nice one. All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Well, LaMelo Ball is coming for Ballarat tonight, playing Melbourne United, Illawarra Hawks as well. Interesting. Anyway, Rock'em Sock'em Jock'em Landale. I think I mentioned this as well. He was more up and down than the old Lethal Weapon roller coaster up at Movie World on the Gold Coast. But 7 points against the Czech Republic, 4 rebounds, 1 foul, 1 turnover, 1 steal, a +9. So he was effective while he was out there. And look, was very, very handy. This is part of like the weird Jock Landale experience though, isn't it? It's like there's turnovers, there's, you know, nerve sometimes, there's losing assignments on help defense here and there, but sometimes he just goes up and has like a fucking wild putback where you're just like, oh fucking shit, Jesus. So yeah, you take the good with the bad. The dude's young, let's roll with it. All right, nice one. So there you go, better than Lonzo Ball. Look, Jock Landale as well, cumulatively, I've already mentioned this, but how many points does Lonzo Ball have in international competition? Is it more than or less than 43? Oh, I'm pretty sure zero is less than 43. Therefore, Jock Landale is better than Lonzo Ball. All right, finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
Kobe Bean Bryant. Oh, I love this. Kobe just out there talking shit about fucking, what is it, 12-year-old girls? Amazing. Absolutely wild. So Kobe did put up an Instagram post of, what is it? Here's our fourth place, inverted commas, winners picture. Lol. 6 of the kids in the picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The 7th player, not in pick, missed this game for a dance recital, so that should tell you where her focus was at this time. Really? From the original 7, we've added a player 2 years younger, 6th grade now, a player whose team is in our area folded, and a player whose family moved here from Tennessee. The beauty of coaching is growing the players from the ground up. Yeah, also maybe not trash-talking 12-year-olds, you fucking dickhead, Kobe. Jesus. What a fuckwit. Oh, the fucking 12-year-old girl had a dance recital that she's a part of instead of playing bar. Yeah, and you're going to fucking roast her? You absolute, utter Friday fuckhead. It's not even fuckwit, it's fuckhead. Jesus, settle down, Kobe. Look, this whole thing of like, Kobe in this Mamba mentality is the biggest load of fucking horse shit. I get it. Focus is really, really important. But, you know, being a fucking well-rounded human being is as well. Kobe, you piece of shit. You know what this 12-year-old girl is probably not going to do? Like, you know, allegedly rape somebody in a fucking Denver hotel room, you piece of crap. You know, maybe if you had spent a little bit less time fucking focusing on goddamn basketball when you were 12, maybe you wouldn't have tried your hardest to ruin a young lady's life. Just saying. And then maybe you wouldn't be out here fucking trash talking 12-year-old girls. You utter fuckhead. All right. Wow, a bit heated. Yeah, I'm seeing double, so that checks out. All right, we're back in a second with some quick yinars right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Really quick yinar. We're going to take a couple of storylines, decide whether they're more yam or no. Hey. Do Team USA bounce back from this absolute fucking shit show of a World Cup and end up with a whole raft of amazing players for Tokyo 2020 next year? And is this going to reboot the Team USA franchise like it's fucking Marvel or something? Yeah, nah. You know what? Nah, I don't think so. I kind of mentioned this in the Wednesday show with Ben Malice in the Palace from the pickandroll.com.au. That, look, this should really, really fire everybody up in Team USA, but at the same time, feel like a little bit of the shine has just gone off this whole Team USA experience. We saw everybody pull out, and next summer, you just know that LeBron's probably not going to play. He's enjoying this whole off-season thing, and Space Jam 2 is going to be premiering. He's going to be doing a fucking media tour all goddamn summer. You reckon he's going to spend a bunch of that doing fucking, you know, training camp, hanging out, and then going to Japan for 2 weeks and playing in the Olympics? Fuck no. And the same thing's going to go for like Anthony Davis and co, where like the dudes who are in Space Jam are going to be like a giant part of this. So, I don't know. But also with all the player movement and everything that we might see next offseason as well, I think we might see we'll see a much better version of Team USA next year. But we're not going to see like LeBron next to Steph Curry, next to Anthony Davis, next to Kawhi. Next to Paul George, etc. I'm just saying. Next to Rusty. So just brace yourself for it. You know, they're going to send like a good young team that'll probably win gold, but it's not going to be the World Crusher Monstars team, you know. Next up. Is Patty Mills player of the tournament in this World Cup so far? Yeah, nah, yes! Now, in terms of predictions, we've hit a bunch on the fucking head. As I mentioned, chatting with Malice on Wednesday, predicted that France would beat Team USA. That happened. Patty Mills would go out there and absolutely crush it. And Malice almost basically bang on predicted the final fucking margin. I went a little bit low and I said 8 or 9. I said that the Czech plus 9 was okay because I felt Australia would win by about 8. Malice was like, nah, fuck that. 12-13, hit the nail on the head. Our prediction shows with Malice continue to scare the fuck out of me. We're getting way too many things right. It's a bit weird, but yeah, Patty Mills obviously also came out, kicked some ass, took some names, and away we fucking go. Pretty great. Good stuff. All right, and just a really, really quick last one. Hey, you ready for it? Do we beat Spain tonight? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, let's fucking do it. Let's fucking go. I love it. Woo. That should be fun. So, yeah. It's what I'm really just after now. So, be fun on the bun. Oh, wait. So now, hang on a second. Seventh place was team... Oh, shit. USA have got another game? The highest they can finish is seventh? Oh, I never fucking read that. That's amazing. They've got to beat Poland to make sure they come in seventh. That's fucking hilarious. Oh, shit. I only just saw that pop up. That's funny as hell. Love fucking it. Anyway, yeah, look, Spain, it's going to be an amazingly tough ask, I think, of the Australians. But can we avenge that absolute fucking railroading shit show of Rio 2012? Well, yeah, yeah, I think we can. I think we will. I'm really, really excited for today's game. Look, Rubio, Rudy Fernandez, Victor Kleberg, Marc Gasol, Willie, Hernan Gomez. There's only one Hernan Gomez. Sergio Llull, Juancho, Hernan Gomez. There's lots of really, 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 really good players on Spain. España. But can we beat them? Fuck yes, let's get them, bangers. Let's check out the actual odds, shall we, for tonight's game. España are 3.5-point favorites. That feels about right. Maybe 2.5. And on the other side of the bracket, Argentina versus France, 10 o'clock tonight. France is 6-point favorites, which seems absolutely fucking crazy, considering that we just beat France. So I would have thought that would have been about 4-point favorites. But look, I'll take the Aussies. Fuck it. +3.5. Give me that. And France, -6. I think I'll take Argentina +6. I think France probably win that, but it's a close one. Nice one. Nice one. Cool. All right. Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day. Twitter check-in, slash Instagram. Jesus Christ. Who had the fucking heart attack? Was it my old man or me? The inspiration board, the Patty Mills inspiration board. How about we give it the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba inspiration board today? There was a great post by Gazy. I think I retweeted it yesterday. It's an Instagram photo. Gazy, the Grey Mamba, Instagrammed out, "These guys and many others before them have done a lot to get to where we are today at FIBA World Cup. Let's go, Boomers!" And yeah, it's a shit ton of old blokes, Lindsay Gaze and co, out there representing Australia. That's fucking great. It's the 1960 Olympic team. Absolutely great stuff on your Gazy, as inspiring as always, I would say. And I feel like that's a really, really nice way to finish off this really quick episode of NBA Australia. Andrew Gaze, the Grey Mamba. We're going into a semi against Spain, trying to win our first medal at a major, major, major tournament. Let's fucking go, Boomers. Let's do it. Let's revenge fucking 2016 Rio bullshit. I'm still fuming about that. I don't know if you can tell. And if there are basketball gods out there, all I ask is that we win. And really, if you're really about sort of leveling everything for us, how about we either kick the absolute fucking shit out of them or win on a contentious last second call that tears their paella sangria sipping hearts out. Let's do that. Hey? Let's do that. Thanks. Thanks, basketball gods. Nice one. All right. That's it for today. That's it for the week. I'm going to go drink some tins and hope that the Boomers win. Look, you know, I'm really hoping we win this. It's going to be amazing. Also, just go check out my boy Kane from the Pick and Roll. He is the editor-in-chief, co-editor-in-chief, co-founder of the pickandroll.com. Had an amazing, amazing, amazing Twitter thread about the NBL and Australian basketball and media access. It's fascinating. Go check that out. He's at K-E-I-N. It's really, really good stuff. I'll talk about that more next week. It just came up whilst I was doing the show, so good stuff. Anyway, let's fucking go win gold in this, motherfuckers, hey? All right, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all that good stuff. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone. Rating and review helps out heaps. Go check out NBAAustralia.com. Go smash that big Amazon button on the right-hand side. Go buy some cool shit. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end if you do that. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is the best Australian album so far this year. It's fucking awesome. Big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. We support Australian bands. And we are going to close out with, it's going to be an old Cooking with Bainesy. Let's hope that Bainesy gets cooking tonight, big bangers. That's going to be fun. And let's do it. Let's win gold. Come on, Boomers. This is the NBA Australia saying, let's go, Boomers! Cooking with Banzi is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Banzi with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yeah, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, look at us over there. Oh, yes. I see you over there, Cheryl. You're here every week. Oh, love you too. Oh, love you too, hon. Yes, look at you. Oh, this is great. Oh, thank you. Come on. Oh, settle down. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for that. That's ripper. All right, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. That's it. Cooking with Bainesy. I love this. And in this here episode, we are going to whip you up one of my absolute favorite Australian classics that you can have whenever. You can have it for brekkie. You can have it for lunch. You can have it for tea. It is that absolute modern Australian classic. It's avocado toast. Oh, yes. That's right. It's an absolute Aussie classic now, mate. And after I got this recipe from a little mate deli, I love me some avo toast. And, oh, maybe not as much as my mate Dally, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's easy as, mate. I punch through enough of this that it definitely helps me keep up this physique, you know what I mean? Every brekkie I'm on this train, so I reckon you better jump on board. All right, so it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and just grab a loaf of whatever bread you like to toast up. Me, I like a bit of multigrain. I like a little bit more crunch in my toast. Just like the screens I set for the Celtics, a bit of crunch is what I like. Then I grab a ripe old avo, grab a lemon on your way out, and away we go. All right, now, and this is very important. A lot of people try to do fancy shit to avo toast. And look, you can if you really, really want to get all fancy-pantsy. You can put some goat's cheese on there. You can put some tomatoes in there. You can put a bit of red onion if you feel like it. Sprinkle some of that bullshit ducker, which I think is just fucking crumbs or whatever the fuck shit it is. But anyway, all you actually need to do is keep it simple as, mate. Toast, avo, bit of lemon. So it's simple. Fang your bread in the toaster. Then sit back, crack a tin, and let it all get nice and browned up. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is either. When you're cracking a tin and cooking with Bainesy, it's always time for a tin. So, now, slice up your avo, dump it into a bowl, scoop it out. Yep, there you go. Scoop her out into a bowl. Now, mush that bastard up into a paste. Just mush her up. There you go. Just mush her up. There you go. Yep. Now, once that's done, it's all mushed up, all nice. Get your knife. Now, your taste is done. She's popped up. Get your toast out. Now, slather that avo all over your toast about, you can go 1 to 2 inches thick, I reckon. That's how I usually go, eh? Absolute, just smother it in avo. Beautiful, look at that. Then drizzle a bit of lemon on top, and away we go. Just bloody well, look at that. Put a bit of salt and pepper on top, and all you have to do then, get your bloody munch on. Oh, how good is that? It is an absolute bloody ripper of a treat. The best bit is, it's good for any time of day. Brekkie, avo toast. Lunch, avo toast. Tea, avo toast. It's just bloody delicious, mate. And look, of course, you got to make sure you get your avos when they're in season, or else you'll never be able to afford a bloody house. All right, how easy was that? Thanks to my little mate, Deli, for the recipe. And I hope yous all enjoy it too. All right, avo taste. Legendary. All right, tune in next week for a brand new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Mainsy!